When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record in my car, sharing a few thoughts about my workday, thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. 10 minutes at a go, right? I'll keep working on that intro, I swear. So what am I thinking about today? Well, as it happens, I'm recording this episode instead of at the end of my workday, pretty much at the beginning. I just got out of class, my Tuesday class that I teach, a high school class, and we spent most of the time talking about line value. I was teaching the kids how to start working with a brush pen in their inking, getting 15, 16, 17-year-old kind of under the hood of some of these tools, I think is a good start for them, because it's something I wish I would have been introduced to at that age. But we talked a lot about line value, and I thought that the discussion we had in class would be good for a Thunder Punch Daily. Now, line value is an interesting thing, and I know we've been going on, or rather, Mark and I have covered this quite a bit on past episodes of Art and Story. I know we did an inking episode with Kevin Cross, with the Big Art and Story Party Time. It was a two-parter. We talked at length about different inking tools and why we use them, and line value came up a lot in that conversation. But I thought it'd be nice to do a little 10-minute sort of what are the four realms of concern I think about when thinking about line value, and just to frame it real quick. Line value is an interesting thing to me because you are creating a plausible world just by virtue of lines themselves. And there's something in my mind kind of magical about that. You're not using color, you're not using tone. Just putting an ink line on paper, you can create this artificial representation of our world that people believe in, even though it is so stylized as to be unbelievable, right? I mean, there's no lines around me. There's no lines around you. You look around at all the objects in your home. There's no lines around that art table. I mean, the shapes just stop, right? But for some reason, we can take these ink lines, throwing them down on paper, and using different varied widths and different kinds of combining different widths and different curves, we can create images that people understand to be representations of the real world, and thereby making images that are plausible. Come on, that you can't deny that's actually kind of magical. It's really cool, and so I get really excited about inking tools for that reason, because it's like different kinds of ways to create magic. But when it's not going very magical for you on at the art desk, and you're not sure how to throw these lines down, what kind of lines to use for whatever kind of image you're working on, there's four realms of concern that I like to think about on the page. First one is light source. You can use line value to create, to emphasize and delineate what your light source is. So, for instance, let's say your light source is in the upper left-hand corner of your image. Anything on the lower right side, anything opposite of that light source, should have a slightly thicker line width to it. And the things closer, or rather facing the light source, should have a slightly thinner line width to it. That's one of the realms of concerns. That even if you're not using cross-hatching, even if you're not using tonal shading, even if it's just a pure black and white image that you do in a contour style with minimal detail, that itself will help indicate and imply the shadow and thereby where your light source is. The next one is the contour itself. Now, I know I like to work in a more of a contour line style than other kinds of artists. You know, there's nothing wrong with working in a fixed width line style. But I myself like to work in a contour style where I'm using fewer lines inside of shapes to create the depth and tone, three-dimensionality. I like to do as much as I can with that outer line. I've said many times before that one of my favorite things to do is to try to delineate the entire outer contour of the side of a person's body with one line stroke. That's really fun when I can actually pull that off. And there's like a grace and an elegance to that kind of illustration style in my mind. This is just my approach to illustration. But the contour is trying to create a sense of the volume of a shape with different line widths as you follow along the outside of the body. So for instance, let's take a face as an example. If you look at a person's face, the cheekbone is going to protrude more than, say, as you get nearer towards the eye. As you get towards the eye, progressing up a person's facial contour, the distance from the viewer's viewpoint is going to recede a little bit. And in order to create that volume of the shape of the cheekbone, you can use a thicker line at the curve of the cheekbone and the curve of the jaw. So like where the chin protrudes, use a thicker line at that curve and a thinner line on the jawline, because the jawline is actually receding away from the reader's eye. The actual front part of the jaw, the chin, is actually coming towards them. So that contour creates a sense of volume. And it's the same way when you're delineating anything, like a sleeve fold, drapery, if you have somebody with a cloth cape folding over them, or a cape that's billowing in the wind, where the cape is curving, you know, like, so the cape will billow, right? And it'll create like waves, very much like water waves. And there'll be like crests and troughs to that. And at the crests and the troughs of the wave are the most extreme parts of the shape. So those are the parts that you're going to use a thicker line value on to emphasize that volume, basically emphasizing and thickening the line at the curve and diminishing the line as the curve recedes or goes farther away, if that makes any sense. The next two are kind of related to contour. I mean, these support the whole idea of using line value in contours. Is weight. Weight is tied inextricably to volume. But also, you can kind of stylize this a little bit. Like in some panels of comics that I've done, if I have a character stomping really hard on the ground or punching something really hard, and there's that increased weight of the shape because, you know, if you're stomping as hard as you can, there's that impact pressure of however many pounds per square inch, right? And it's increased. It's heavier than your actual foot is. So I'll use a thicker line around the point of impact on the shape that is creating the impact. And that will lend itself to creating a little bit more extra heaviness to something. Same thing if you're drawing something with a lot of volume to it, a lot of girth to it. Like, well, let's just say it, a big fat guy, you know, a guy with a big old belly hanging over his belt. I'm going to use a thicker line value on the curves of his belly protruding over his belt line. And that'll also give it the sense of heaviness and weight. And then as on the lighter parts of his body, I'm going to use lighter line weight. So for instance, like the fold lines on his jeans, that doesn't weigh as much as his belly, so I'm going to use thinner lines on that. So, and then the last realm of concern I have is depth. And this one comes into play when you're using, especially in the cases where you're using extreme foreshortening. So let's say you got a shot of Spider-Man leaping at you, and that, you know, Spider-Man's always swinging on a web with one arm coming straight at you and the other arm is pointed away from you, holding the web he has previously swung on. The arm in front of him is firing a new web to swing on to do the next arc of his swinging, right? And then usually like one leg is forward and the other leg is back, or both legs are pointing forward if you're doing one of those Todd McFarlane crotch busting poses. But anyway, whatever is closest to you is going to have a thicker line value around it. So, and that creates a sense of depth. This comes into like things we've talked about before in Art and Story with atmospheric distortion. If you're drawing a plane off in the far distance, you're going to use thinner lines and less lines to delineate the shape of that plane, because if you look at a plane off in the distance, it's just going to appear to be a gray shape. You're not going to see all the rivets and metal, where all the metal plates intersect. You're not going to see the windows. You're not going to see all the different parts of the engine or anything like that. It just becomes this sort of indistinct grayish shape. And so you represent that by using fewer and thinner lines that gives it a sense of distance. So think about that when you're drawing a human form or any form in your comics for that matter. Think about how you can use line value to emphasize distance and depth. Whatever's closer to the reader's eye is going to have a thicker line around it. Whatever is more distant is going to have a thinner line. And that's how you can also create images where you can have more visually striking images by creating a point of focus, by using much more bolder and thicker line values around your point of focus, and thinner, less distinct lines for objects that are slightly out of focus or that you don't want the reader to focus on as much. So, One last word on this as I close it out is that these are four realms of concern, but these are only realms of concern that come up when you're stuck. This is that art mullet thing again. When you're in the moment and it's feeling right and everything's working for you, you're operating out of that creative center in the back of the brain. That prefrontal cortex, the analytical part, only comes into play when you're not sure what kind of lines to use. So don't take this as to be some kind of prescriptive formula. If you just follow these four things, you're going to get great illustrations every time. The great illustrations happen when you're in the zone, and you only get in the zone by doing it every day. So, okay, who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com. I'm Jersey on Twitter. You can follow me. It's J-E-R-Z-Y. Don't forget to check out the other great shows on Art and Story Supreme, like High Adventure Daily by Kevin Cross and Mark of the Beast by Mark Rudolph. Some other terrific twice-weekly audio essays on the craft of cartooning. And then also the extra episodes of Extreme, Art and Story Extreme, that is. Then the Art and Story Supreme show, the monthly show that we do extra on top of all that. And then there's the forums. You can discuss this in the forums. You can find that on the Art and Story website, artandstorypodcast.com. And then there's videos too, video tutorials and video demonstrations. A lot of cool stuff we had there. And this is where I say thank you very much for supporting us in this endeavor. We really, literally could not do this without your support. So we thank you for your subscription. Okay. So until next time, everybody, remember...
Today we met Garth, who to some people looked like a monster. But Garth wasn't a monster. He was a good person with a noble soul. And in the end, his beauty showed through. Real beauty comes from inside, which is why ugly people can sometimes be the most beautiful people to know. And why people who look beautiful sometimes act very ugly. Being beautiful on the outside is all right. But being beautiful on the inside, that's the best.